and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to finish up our study about Amasa and the situation here with Amasa between him and Joab, found here in 2 Samuel chapter number 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 20, I'm going to begin reading down at verse number 10. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai his brother pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, "He that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab." And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast a cloth upon him when he saw that every one that came by him stood still. When he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. What Joab does here is just downright despicable. Now, we already talked about last week about how Joab set him up to fail. I don't know how it all worked. I speculated a little bit last week in what Joab may have done. He may have given Amasa this sheath with this sword that didn't fit right. I don't know. I don't know what was exactly done, and it doesn't really matter. The point being is I believe Amasa was set up to fail. And that is such a terrible thing to do to a brother or sister in Christ. And yet, what Joab does next is even worse. And I'm not talking about killing him. Killing him is one thing. It's the way he did it and what he did afterwards. This is a horrible, horrible story. I mean, look at what's going on here. Amasa, he thinks Joab's there. Joab's there to help, and he's ready to go, and he didn't even pay attention to the sword that was in Joab's hand. Now, whether this was the sword that fell out of Amasa's scabbard, or if it was a sword that Joab had on him, Joab reached over to him with his right hand, and he had his sword in his left hand. And what a valuable thing to be able to do is to fight with either hand. I talked about that a little bit last week. And you know, when learning to shoot, if you're doing a concealed carry, it's very useful to learn how to shoot effectively with either eye and with either hand. Now, it's always best to shoot with both hands, but if you have to, you need to be prepared to shoot with your non-dominant hand. If you're left-handed, that would be your right hand. If you're right-handed, that would be your left. Here, Joab has a sword in his left hand, apparently, because he grabs Amasa as if to hug him, to kiss him. He grabs him by the beard with his right hand, sword in his left. And Joab strikes a blow. Now, what Joab does here is despicable. He strikes him in the fifth rib and disembowels him. This is ugly. It's just flat out ugly what Joab does. And he leaves him. He doesn't hit him again. He doesn't give a mercy killing. He doesn't make it to where Amasa dies quickly. Now, death is something none of us want to think about. Whether it be death of our loved ones, death of ourselves, whoever. It doesn't matter. We don't want to think about death. And worse, we don't want to think about death that's not quick. That's just one of the things that we human beings, we're all, to a degree, afraid to die. Now, we who are saved know where we're going once we die, but that doesn't mean we're in a hurry to die, now does it? Because death, I've never been there. I'm still alive, but death and the act of being killed can be one of the most horrific and painful experiences that a person can endure. And we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think about anything but a quick death. I still remember years ago, there's a song out there that I believe it was the Good Shepherd Quartet sang. And the song was a plea to the Lord saying, "Let me die easy, Lord." But, you know, here's my attitude on it. There are much better people than I who have had difficult deaths. Who am I to deserve a better death than they got? Who am I to deserve a better treatment in death than what some of these people who are far better people than I had to suffer? And it's not a pleasant thought. It's not something we want to think about. But folk, we need to be hasting to the day of our death, not trying to make it come faster. No, not trying to get the death to get here faster, but hasting towards it to get what we need to get done before our death. And if we, you know, modern medical science can sometimes prolong your life, sometimes without a good quality of living even, but you'll be still alive, just not necessarily with the same quality of living, especially certain cancers. Cancer, there's no spare parts in the human body. The human body does not have any spare parts, and it doesn't regenerate most things. There are exceptions. I know a gentleman who had his wisdom teeth taken out when he was in his 20s, and they grew back. A very unusual situation. And, he had no reason to make up the story to me, and I didn't physically check to make sure he had his wisdom teeth still, but I believed him. It sounded odd, but at the same time, I believed him, because he had no reason and no purpose in lying to me about it. But most of the time, when you lose a part, it's gone. Whether it's a finger, I know some people who've lost fingers. My grandma on my dad's side, she lost a finger to a childhood accident. I know others who have lost fingers and toes, you know, and I still remember Brother Dewey Powell lost parts of both legs to a bulldozer accident years ago. And I remember watching him come in with the double prosthetics and preaching while standing on double prosthetics like that. I remember that. And he had that accident, but he lived, but he lost portions of both legs. Other people have lost other parts of their body, whether it's from cancer, from accidents, whatever it might be. Cancer's one of the worst because it turns your body against itself, and the portions of the body grow when they're not supposed to grow. And they grow in ways in which they're not supposed to do. And it's a rough thing, and it's a horrible disease. Cancer is. Sin is like a cancer. Sin is very much like a cancer, taking our own flesh and using it against us. And that happens frequently in the case of sin. And of course, in the case of cancer, sometimes they say we can extend your life by 6 months or a year, and most people will do that. Most people will go through just about anything, just about any pain, just about any surgery, just about any treatment. And radiation treatments can just about destroy your body, not just the cancer, because what it has to do is it has to kill off the cancer. Well, the cancer's part of the body, and so you're killing off part of the body. And it just so happens that you can target it a little bit, but there's only so much you can do. There's only so pinpoint of targeting can be done. And cancer can be some rough things. Bone cancer especially. I went to the funeral of a gentleman who had bone cancer behind his eyes. And that was a difficult sight because it was open casket. And it was a very, very heart-rending sight, but that's what he wanted. He wanted people to see what the cancer had done to him. And it had disfigured his face. Pretty dramatically disfigured his face. I know this is all very unpleasant to think about, but that's what's going on with Amasa. He is dying a painful, slow death. Now, the Bible does not pull the punch. It doesn't shirk away from the image of Amasa in the middle of the highway wallowing in blood. He was alive, disemboweled, in great pain, no doubt, bleeding out slowly. And Joab could have given a mercy kill. He could have taken that sword and made it quick, just like David did with Goliath, you know. David took Goliath and cut his head off. Now, Goliath was already dead, but, or at least he would die because he had a stone sunk in the front of his noggin. He might have been laying there unconscious, but David took his head off and then took that skull to Jerusalem over a period of years. Mm-hmm. Joab doesn't do that. Joab leaves him. He doesn't even bother with a mercy killing. It's like this was a rebel. He led the rebels. He deserves to die a rebel's death. And he left him wallowing in blood in the middle of the highway. And he went on. Well, Joab apparently left a man there who said, if you're going to follow Joab, you better go on. But the people stopped. And they saw Amasa. Now, maybe Joab's idea was, here's what Joab does to people who would think that they could get ahead of him and go over his head. Maybe that's what Joab's purpose was in leaving Amasa wallowing in blood in the middle of the highway. I don't know. But Joab did a very despicable thing here by doing that to Amasa. What a despicable thing he did. It's a shame and a disgrace. And Joab's going to end up suffering for it. He is. David is going to tell Solomon, now you make sure that you get the gray head of Joab. Make sure it does not go down to the grave in peace. That's the way he puts it, I believe, at the end of 1 Chronicles. And so, Amasa is dying. He's not going to survive. And the man Joab leaves, see that everybody stops when they see Amasa wallowing in blood. It was a difficult sight to see. I don't know the full details of it, but it would have been a very difficult sight to have seen. And so the man drags him out of the highway and covers him up with a cloth. Now, he doesn't haste his demise. He just gets him out of the way. Joab was a very, very ruthless man. Because this was his cousin. This was his first cousin. And Amasa was not expecting it. But folk, family can frequently be the ones who can set you up the worst because they know who you are. They know your weakness. They know they're able to get close to you and then stab you without you realizing what they've done. And they can cause you to have the slowest spiritual death in terms of your fellowship with the Lord, or in terms of your testimony, or in terms of your influence with other Christians. Family can do the most damage. and it's long-lasting damage when it's family or when it's real close friends, people you've trusted, people you've grown up with, people that you thought were on your side, and then all of a sudden you find out that they've set you up to fail and they're going to make you die a long death in terms of your influence. They're trying to draw it out. That's wicked and evil. It is. What Joab does here is despicable. It is just absolutely despicable. Worthy of being despised. That's what despicable means. It is a horrible thing that he does to his cousin, Amasa. And he leaves him. He leaves him to wallow. Family can sometimes do that too. I'm very blessed. I've not experienced that sort of family issues before. Thank the good Lord. At least not yet. I've not suffered that sort of issue. But I have seen it. I have seen it where family can be the very ones that can give you the worst time. And, I guess they think because they're family, they're not subject to the same rules as everybody else. Rules for thee and not for me, as the saying goes. People frequently do that. They'll come up with rules and then they don't keep their own rules. Of course, that's not what's going on with Joab here, but family and churches, whether it's the pastor's family or a deacon's family or a leading family in the church, they've been there for years. Maybe they're the ones that give the most money. There's all kinds of things that can happen. And they can cause, sometimes, they can cause the worst problems for the pastor or for the deacons of that church. I have seen that, where people that you think are solid, you think they're right there with you, and then you find out later, not so much. You find out later that they didn't have your back like they said they did. They were ready to stab you in the back at any chance they could get, and they were ready to pounce at the least little weakness. We have a word for that. It's called a wolf. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in the fold. Wolves in the church. There'll be grievous wolves come in, not sparing the flock, Paul says, to the elders as he bids them farewell there in the book of Acts. It's something to think about, isn't it? It's something to think about. Not only was Amasa set up to fail, but he was destroyed by his family, Joab. And you know, folk, I'm not sure why the Lord's having me take this much time with this particular subject. I don't know. I don't know why the Lord is causing me to just keep on harping on this part that Amasa was set up by family. Maybe somebody out there is oblivious to what family's getting ready to do to them. Maybe you're out there and maybe you're like Amasa and here your cousins come up to you and getting ready to hug you and getting ready to stab you in the back while they hug you. Now, not literally, not stab in terms of take an actual knife to your back, but figuratively speaking, stab you in the back. They may be the very ones that's spreading rumors. They may be the very ones that's taking what you say and then repeating it and enlarging it. And you find out the rumor was there, and sometimes you find out it was family. Maybe in-laws. Maybe someone that you never would have suspected would be the one to do this. And whether the accusation's false or true, it's worse, of course, when it's true. because then you actually did something. And well, I mean, yeah, it may be between you and the Lord, but when people find out what's between you and the Lord, sometimes they don't take it very well. And family, many times. I wonder when growing up, if Amasa and Joab were playmates. I wonder if Amasa and Joab, apparently Amasa and Absalom were really friendly with each other. Otherwise, Absalom would not have picked him to be his captain of the host. But Joab and Amasa, I wonder if they had rivalries as kids. I don't know the age difference. I don't know who was older and how much older they were. I believe Joab was probably not much younger than David, if younger at all. David was probably the elder of the two. But Amasa and Joab may have grown up together. And maybe Joab pretended to be friendly with Amasa and tried to get him every opportunity he could, tried to lay a snare for him. And then he did lay a snare. He gave him this sword and this sheath that did not fit each other. And you know, he may not have given them to him, but he had them laying there, and Amasa went in and got them. Either way, it was an ill-fitting sheath to that sword, and the sword fell out. And I believe that's something Amasa or Joab would have known about and maybe set up ahead of time. I mean, Joab was there when David said that about Amasa, said, "You're going to be in the room of Joab." And Joab says, "That's news to me. He's just mad that I killed Absalom and that I told him what he needed to hear and what the people needed to see." And David, in front of everybody, told Amasa, or he said, "Tell Amasa that this is the case." And so Amasa's in the court. He's now going to be the captain of the host in Joab's room. And Joab lays a trap for him. Joab lays an absolutely despicable trap and then kills him in one of the worst ways imaginable and doesn't finish him off. He struck once and did not strike again. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says it because it's something we need to pay attention to. It was one strike, but it was not a killing blow. Would he die? Yeah, but bleeding out slowly and in a very painful way. Joab, what were you thinking? Hatred was in your heart. You had it in for your brother. Christian, I sure hope I'm not preaching to somebody today that has it in for their brother in Christ. I sure hope I'm not preaching to someone today who is in the process of setting someone up to fail. I sure hope I'm not preaching to someone today in that situation. If I am, and if you've caught it and you've figured out that that's the situation with you, then repent before the Lord and get things right with your brother. All right? Okay. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.